Alright, we're going to start here on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet, right after the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that in the order of the Parsha, he ends up doing the Shechitat Par, but then he doesn't do the Matan Damim of the Par right away. So he has to leave the Dam that was done with the Kabbalat Dam from the Shechitat Par. He leaves that with an individual, the Maris, there to mix it so it doesn't coagulate. And then he goes and takes in the Toret, Lifnai V'Lifnim. So the Gemara has a question. It says there that the person who's standing mixing the blood is Omed Al Harovid HaRevi'i Shebe'echal, on the fourth row in the Heichal. So the rows are the floor stones, the floor tiles. So he counts four floor stones or floor tiles into the Heichal, and he'd be standing there. The Gemara says, how is that possible? Don't we have a pasuk? The pasuk says, with regards to the Torah, but it references more than that we'll see today, which is, b'chol adam lo yeh b'ol moed, b'vo'ol l'chaper b'kodesh, ad seito, chiper b'adov, ad beito, ad kol ka'al Yisrael. So there's nobody who's allowed to be inside of the ol moed. Ol moed includes the kodesh ha-kodeshim, and very likely the ulam as well. So nobody's allowed to be present there. So how is this individual standing there mixing the blood on the fourth row inside of the heichal, if the Kohen Gadol is going in to do the Ketoret, and nobody else can be inside of the Heichal at that time? So I'm Rav Yehuda, Tnei Shel Heichal. It's not in the Heichal that he stood in the fourth row, but rather four rows from the Heichal. When you count out from the Heichal, he was four rows into the Azara. So it's the other way around. It's not the fourth row entering into the Heichal, and he's internal to the Heichal, but the other way around. He's outside the Heichal, and he's four rows into the Azara, away from the Heichal, and therefore he's not standing inside of the Heichal. So Tan Rabbanan. So now we're going to be darshaning this pasuk. V'chol adam lo yeh ba'ol moed. Yochol afilu ba'azara. I would think that they cannot be in the Azara. Tamad Omar, ol moed. The ol moed means the area of the Heichal that you cannot be in. The Azarot, a person can be in. Ein li'ala ba'ol moed she b'midbar. I would thought that's only true in the Midbar. Shiloh Beit Olamim Minayin. How do you know also in Mishkan Shiloh and in Beit Olamim means the Beit HaMikdash? How do I know that also there he can't be inside or nobody can be inside with him? Tamal Omar Bakodesh. So it says, Chol Adam Liyeh Ba'ol Moed V'vod Chaper Bakodesh. So Bakodesh means in the presence of the Kodesh in the Eichal. So nobody else is allowed to be there. Tosafot here has a long discussion about the fact that the Gemara in some places asks, if I know something in the Mishkan, how do I know it's also true by the Beit HaMikdash, or vice versa? And other times the Gemara assumes that they're one and the same. Gemara says in Shavuot, Echad Mishkan ve'echad Mikdash, that they're synonymous words, because in Parshat Truma, it uses both words. It uses the word Mishkan and uses the word Mikdash interchangeably. So therefore I don't need a special limud, I can learn everything out. If I know something by the Mishkan, it's also true by the Kodesh. So Tosafot says, which is true? Do I need a pasuk to tell me it's true by the Mikdash and Mishkan Shilolik here? Or are they considered to be one? So he says, with regards to Tum'ah, anything to do with Tum'ah, there the Gemara always looks for a second pasuk, because maybe the status of the Mishkan and the Midbar is different than the permanent Beit HaMikdash. That's one. The second one is where we have some indication that there's extraneous words or an unusual term, and therefore I would think it only applies to Mishkan and the Midbar, like this. Here, the terminology used is Chol Adam Lo'yeh Ba'ohel Moed. Omoed is only relevant to the Mishkan in the Midbar. And it wasn't necessary to write the word Omoed. Could have just written, Bechol Adam Loyeh Bakodesh, or Bevol Lechaper Bakodesh, and it would have been sufficient. Why does it add in the word Omoed? So Omoed comes to seemingly tell you that only in the Omoed, which is relevant by the Midbar, not in the Mikdash or in Mishkan Shiloh. So that's why they bring a second Riboy to tell you, not only in the Omoed of the Midbar, but also in the Kodesh, the Heichal of Mishkan Shiloh and the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, "Ein li ala b'shat haktara." I only know that's true. This pasuk is written, seems like, in the context of the Ketoret. How do I know that b'shat matan damim minayin? How do I know that it also applies to matan damim? Tamadom b'vo lichaper. So it says, "Chol dam liyeh b'ol moed b'vo'o lichaper." So the kapara over here references to the matan damim as well. "Ein li ala b'knisato." That's only when he's taking the Ketoret in. B'yitziato minayin. How do I know when he's removing it that he also, nobody can be there? Tamal Omar, ad seito. Until he leaves. Or until he's taken out. V'chiper ba'ado, uba'ad beito, uba'ad kol ka'al Yisrael. That's the end of the pasuk. So here it says, kaparato. The way we have the girs on our gemaras is, kaparato kodeme lekaparat beito. Kaparat beito kodeme lekaparat echava kohanim. V'kaparat echava kohanim kodeme lekaparat kol ka'al Yisrael. There's a hierarchy. In terms of the attainment of kapara, his kapara is first, then his bayit, his family's kapara, then his brothers, the Kohanim, and then all of Kal Yisrael. It's a progression in terms of the kapara. You can see the little aleph there refers to the gra, and it's obviously why the gra wants to take this out, is because right now you just established four tiers in the hierarchy. We only have three viduim on Yom HaKippurim. The first vidui is ba'ado ba'ad beito. The second one is ba'ado ba'ad beito. And uba'ad the Kohanim. And then the third one is ba'ad kol Kal Yisrael. So I have three stages, which is the first one is ba'ado ba'ad beito. The second one includes echav HaKohanim. And the third one is ba'ad kol Kal Yisrael. So the Gra eliminates the stage of the Chafarat Beito, because Chafarat Beito doesn't exist separate from him, because it's Ba'do Ba'd Beito is the first Vidui. So he eliminates that from the Girsa. But in either way, you have a hierarchy here in terms of attainment of Kapara. Amamar. Now the Gemara is going to go back and discuss the pieces of this Braita that we just brought. Enli Ela B'Shat Haktara. Only at the time of Haktara. My Mashma. How do you know that the context of this pasuk is haktara and not the matan danim lifnai v'lifnim? The pasuk is written after the haktarat haktoret, but also after the matnot damim lifnai v'lifnim. So when it says nobody should be in the kodesh when he's there, how do you know that it only refers to the haktoret and not to the matan damim? Then I need another ribui to bring in the matan damim. Amar Rava v'chein amar Yitzchak bar Avdimi v'chein amar Rabbi Lazar. Amar Kora, the pasuk says v'chiper v'ado u'bad beito v'ad kol Kal Yisrael. Says that whatever he's doing there accomplishes kapara for all of these parties. Ezu kapara sheshave lo. Now again, the question about the girsa here. We have u'le beito u'le echav hakohanim u'le kol Kal Yisrael. Where is there equal footing for everyone in terms of kapara? Where is the attainment of kapara equal for all these individuals? That's the bringing of the ketoret. Now, again, the Gra eliminates veto because it's not a separate entity. It's lo, veto is one entity. And then, echav hakohanim, echav Kal Yisrael. So there's no four stages or four units of kapara. There's only three units of kapara. But the ketoret is one area where everyone is equal. On the other hand, when it comes to Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav, the Par works for him, his family, and the Kohanim, and the Sa'ir Lashem works for Bnei Yisrael. So it's two separate korbanot that deal with the Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav. In terms of attainment of Kaparat Avonot, that's the Sa'ir Lazazel, that doesn't go into the Kodesh. Even if you believe that the Sa'ir Lazazel also covers the Kohanim there, and everybody's covered by the Sa'ir Lazazel, that's not helpful here because that never ends up inside of the Kodesh. So in terms of Avodot that are done inside of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, there are only three things that are possible. There's the Damapar, Damasir, and the Ketoret. Damapar and Damasir separate between Kal Yisrael and him and the Kohanim. Because the power belongs to him and the Kohanim, and Kali Yisrael is covered by the Seir Lashem.
What the Kohanim need?
Because they work in the Mikdash. It's all about Tumat Mikdash and Dashav. That Kapara is not about broad Avonot, it's about the Tuman, the Mikdash. So they're very involved with the Mikdash. And then you have the Ketoret. So Gemara says, the only place we find everybody on equal footing is the Ketoret, where there's one Ketoret for everyone. There's no separate Ketoret for the Kohanim and for the rest of Kalal Yisrael. So Gemara says, Uktoret Mechaperet? Since when is the Ketoret Mechaper? So it says in, yeah, Dahatani Rabbi Hananya, Manu the Ketoret Shemechaperet. We know that the Ketoret is Mechaperet Shenemar, Vayitenet HaKetoret Vayichaper Alam. He placed the Ketoret and he's Mechaper Alam. Betana Devei Rabbi Shmuel Amak Ketoret Mechaperet. What is the Ketoret Mechaper from Alashon Hara? For speaking evilly about one's fellow Jew, Yavo Davar Shebechashai. The item that is done privately or quietly, the Ketoret, which is done lifnai v'lifnim, nobody sees it. Or even on regular days, brought on the Mizbeach HaZahav, which is inside the Kodesh, there's nobody present. Bichaper al Maseh HaShai, and it should be Mechaper on an item that is done in private. Lashon Hara, when people speak, they speak in a way that is covered up, as Rashi says. Rashi explains, what's the Lashon Hara? Ki hayid the Korach, like that of Korach, Lashon Hara havo. It was Lashon Hara, what's that of Korach? So you would think it means Korach himself. That's not what it's referring to. He says it's the incident right after Korach, which is Zichdiv, Atem Amitem et Am Hashem. You killed the people of Israel. After Korach and his Edah gets swallowed up by the land, the people start to complain. And you caused, oh, Bnei Israel, you're going to cause everybody to be swallowed up here. What are you doing? And then there's a plague amongst the Am. In order to stop that plague, Aaron has to take out the Ketoret. It takes out the Ketoret to stop the Magefah. So over there we see the Ketoret being used to stop something. But what was the problem? The problem, as she claims, was Lashon Hara. Because they said about Moshe and Aaron, Atem Haimitem et Am Hashem, you killed these people. Now, obviously they deserve to die. They were problematic people and it was made to Hashem. But the people blame them for that and say, look, we're all going to get swallowed up. We're all going to get eaten up here. What's going to happen? So therefore, Aaron has to go in, bring out the ketoret, and he goes through the Am, and he walks through there, and he stops the magifa. So first of all, that's how we know, number one, that the ketoret is mechaper. And number two is, what is it mechaper for? And Rashi says that was that lashon hara. It's stam lashon hara b'chashayhu. He says, most lashon hara is spoken in private, in quiet. So therefore, the ketoret is a kapara for lashon hara. Right, it's not Hatam. We have a Mishnah in Kelim that explains the hierarchy of Kiddushot. In Perek Aleph of Second Kelim, it goes through different levels of Kiddushot. It says, Eretz Yisrael is more Kadosh than Chutz Laretz. Then when in Eretz Yisrael, the walled cities are more Kadosh than the unwalled cities. And then amongst the walled cities, Yerushalayim is more Kadosh. And it goes up and up and up. And now over here, as part of that description, it says, Porshim miben ha'ulam ulumizbeach v'shat ha'ktara. That you have to separate out from between the Ulam Nizbeach at the time of Haftarat HaKitoret. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says about this, Loshanu Elo B'Shat HaKtara De'Echal. That's only true when they're bringing Torah in the Echal. B'Shat HaKtara Lifnai Lifnim. When they're bringing the Ketoret in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, Me'Echal Parshe, you don't have to separate out of the Echal. Me'Ben Ulam Nizbeach Lo Parshe. You don't have to separate out from Ben Ulam Nizbeach. So in terms of the Ketoret, Ketoret's brought in the Migdash every day. When it's brought every day in the Mikdash, it's brought on the Mizbeach HaZav, which is found in the Kodesh. On Yom HaKippurim is the one time where they also bring the Torah on the Mizbeach HaZav, but they bring the Torah, Lifnai V'Lifnim, all the way into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So now, if you're all the way in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, what Rabbi Elazar says, there's only a necessity for there to be nobody in the adjacent area. What's the adjacent area? If you're in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the adjacent area is the Kodesh. So nobody can be in the Kodesh while the Kohen Gadol is in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. On the other hand, on a weekday, or a regular day when they bring the Ketoret on the Mizbeach HaZahav, then where are you? You're in the Kodesh. So the adjacent area where nobody can be is right outside the Kodesh. What's right outside the Kodesh? Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, between the Mizbeach HaChitzon and the entrance to the Heichal. So that's where you have to separate from. So what Rabbi Elazar says, when the Mishnah in Kelim says that you're not found between the Ulam and Mizbeach at the time of the Ketoret, that's only true on a regular weekday when you're bringing on the Mizbeach HaZahav. But on Yom HaKippurim, where it's going Lifnai V'Lifnim, you can be Ben Ulam and Mizbeach, you just can't be in the Kodesh. You can't be in the area that's adjacent to the area where the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah. So that's the statement of Rabbi Elazar. Now we have a question on that. Meitim Rav Adar Bar'Ava, Rami Lo Akadi. So the question either was posed by Rav Adar Bar'Ava, some say that it was just said Stam, without attribution. Rabbi Yossi Omer, just like you separate from between the Ulam and Mizbeach at the time of Haktarah, Taketoret, kach porshim b'shat matan par kohen Mashiach u'par yalam davar shel tzibor v'sirei avodat kochavim. So too, you separate out at the time of the matan dam of the par kohen Mashiach. That's the par that the Kohen Gadol brings if he gives a psak halacha for himself and he acts on that psak halacha. It's the equivalent of a chatat in a sense for the Kohen Gadol. Paralam davar shel tzibur is where the tzibur does an aveira that you're chayav karet for if you do it with mezid and a chatat when you do it with shogeg. Al pi psak beitin. Beitin gives an incorrect psak and the rov ha'am follows it. So then you bring a paralam davar shel tzibur. Sereya v'dat kochovim is the same thing as a paralam davar tzibur except that the psak beitin was about avodah zarah. So in all of these items, there is damim that are brought into the kodesh. They're sprinkled on the Lifnei ha-parochet, they're right before the parochet. And, when see here, the Gius of the Bach here is the other damim as well, the damim of Yom HaKippurim. The reason that those are left out, as Tosafot points out, is because these are definitive. Over here, when you talk about the damim of these items, we know where they definitely go. When you talk about the damim of the items that are brought on Yom Kippur, the damim are sprinkled on a number of places. They're sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, they're sprinkled in the Kodesh, and then they're sprinkled on Mizbeach HaZahav. So they're not definitive, as opposed to these items where they never go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The damim from these items only get into the Kodesh, not into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Now, what is stated here is that, just like you have to separate between the Ulam Nizbeach at the time of Haktarat HaKitoret, so too at the time of Matan Damim, you have to do this as well. Ha, ma ma'ale yesh ben ha'echal ben Ulam HaMizbeach. What's the difference between the Kedushat ha'echal and the Kedushah ben Ulam Mizbeach? They seem to have the same requirement, which is, you can't be there when items are being done or avodah has been done there. Ella, shebeichal porshim ben b'shat haktara, ben shlo b'shat haktara. When it comes to the eichal, you have to separate out whether it's the time they're bringing the ketoret or the time they're not bringing the Ketoreh. But between the Olam Mizbeach, you have to separate Bishat Haktara. The assumption right now of the Gemara is that the Haktarat Haktorah that we're talking about is on Yom Kippur. That if not even the theme on Yom Kippur, you have to separate out. Bishat Haktarah, Shlo Bishat Haktarah means that you can't be in the Eichal, whether he's bringing the Ketoreh or he's not bringing the Ketoreh. But when he is bringing the Ketoreh, you can't be Ben Ulam La Mizbeach. And that's what it says now. Bishat Haktarah, Mi Aparshe, the time of Haktarah, it says here in this Braita, that you have to separate out from the Ulam La Mizbeach. It's against Rabbi Elazar. Elazar says the only time you have to separate from Ben Ulam La Mizbeach is when they bring Torah on Mizbeach Zahav. Here, they're suggesting that the Braita is speaking about the Torah Lifnai V'Lifnim. And in bringing the Torah Lifnai V'Lifnim, you have to still separate out at the time of Haktarah from Ulam Mizbeach. That's against Rabbi Elazar's position. So my love, Bishat Haktarah Lifnai V'Lifnim. This Braita is talking about Haktarah Lifnai V'Lifnim, and it still says you have to separate from Ulam Mizbeach. The Gemara says, no, Bishat Haktarah De'Echal. It's talking about Haktarah De'Echal. The Gemara doesn't say this, but truthfully it makes a lot more sense, because the Matan Damim here that are mentioned are also Matan Damim Bakodesh and not in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Right, those are not Matanot Damim of Yom HaKippurim. So Rashi says, no, it's at the time of the Haktarat HaEichal. And the Braita would read as such, Ben Bishat Haktarah means Haktarat HaKtoret, Ben Lifnai Lifnim, Ben Bakodesh in the Heichal, and Ben Shalo Bishat Haktarah, that is Matan Damim, not Haktarah, but Damim. Ben the Damim that are done Lifnai Lifnim on Yom HaKippurim, or Ben the Damim that are done in the Heichal, like the Parak Kohen Mashiach and etc. that are mentioned here. In all of these cases, you have to separate out of the Heichal. That's the first statement. The second statement is, Ben Ulam the Mizbeach, Ben Ulam Mizbeach, then Bishat Haktarah, at the time that you do the Ketoret and the Heichal, you have to separate out from Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. Shelo Bishat Haktarah, when you're not doing the Ketoret, but what are you doing? So here, the Gemara thinks it's Damim. Rashi explains here, Shelo Bishat Haktarah means when you're doing the Damim, Lifnai Lifnim, when you're doing the Damim, Bekodesh HaKodashim. When you're doing the Damim there, you don't have to separate out, Bin Ulam La Mizbeach. You could have read this as being that Bishat Haktarah means in the Eichal, when you do the Torah in the Eichal, you have to separate out, Bin Ulam La Mizbeach. Shelo Bishat Haktarah is the Damim. When you're doing Damim in the Eichal, you don't have to separate out from Bin Ulam La Mizbeach. You'd have to explain why then there's a difference between Toret and Damim. Why by Ketoret in the Eichal, you have to separate from Ulam La Mizbeach and not by Damim. The same way you would have to explain it in the previous way that the Gemara was explaining it, that when the Ketoret was lefnai v'lifnim, you had to separate out from the Heichal and the Ulam Lemizbeach. Shelo b'shat haktarah, when it was Damim, you only have to separate out from the Heichal and not the Ulam Lemizbeach. At the end of the sugya, we'll discuss why that is, that there might be such a differentiation between Ketoret and Damim, but over here the Gemara takes it as a given that you could separate between the two of them. Where it says, Yehochi, if that's the case, ha ma maleh, then why does the Braita ask, what's the difference between Eichal and the Ulam the Mizbeach? Betulo, there's nothing else. Va'ika, there's obvious difference, which is, Ha'mayla, de'ilum Eichal parshi ben b'shad haktarah didei ben b'shad haktarah didlifnai didifnim. When it comes to the Eichal, you separate out whether it's the haktarat haktoret of every day on Mizbeach Zahav, or whether it's the haktarat haktoret of Yom HaKippurim, you separate out the Eichal. Be'ilum ben Ulam Mizbeach l'parshi el b'shad haktarah didichal. The only time you separate it out from there is when you bring the Ketoret on the Mizbeach Zahav. But when you bring it Lifnai Lifnim, you don't separate out. So why is the Braita looking for what's the difference between the Eichal to Ulam Mizbeach? It's so obvious what the difference is. If the Braita is only speaking about the Ketoret of every day, that means that it's only on the Mizbeach Zahav. So the difference between the Eichal and Ulam Mizbeach is obvious, which is that every day you have to separate out the Eichal and Ulam Mizbeach. But on Yom Kippur, when it comes to Torah, you only have to separate out the Eichal, not have Ulam Mizbeach, and you have an obvious difference. The Gemara says, Haktani. That's exactly what it says. Ella, Shebeichal Porshim Ben Bishat Haktara, Ben Shelo Bishat Haktara. In the Eichal, you separate out at the time of Haktara, and at the time of not Haktara. Ben Ulam Mizbeach, in Porshim Ella Bishat Haktara. But Ben Ulam Mizbeach, you only separate at Shat Haktara. What's Shat Haktara and Shelo Bishat Haktara? Shat Haktara is the Shat Haktoret every day on the Mizbeach Zav. What's Shalom B'Shat Haktarah? Not the everyday Ketoret, but the Yom Kippur Ketoret. And that's exactly what the Braita is saying. What's the difference between Eichal and the Ulam the Mizbeach? And in the Eichal, you separate Ben B'Shat Haktarah, whether it's the Shat Haktarah of the Eichal, Ben Shalom Haktarah, Shat Haktarah means not the Haktarah of the Eichal, but rather the Haktarah of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So then you separate out from the Eichal. On the Ulam Mizbeach, you only separate B'Shat Haktarah. Shat Haktarah means at the time that you put on Mizbeach Zahav. Shelo B'Shat Haktarah, not on the Mizbeach Zahav, but by the name, there you don't have to separate from the Ulam Mizbeach. So Mar rereads that differentiation as being exactly this difference, supporting Rabbi Elazar now, and saying there's a difference between Eichal and Ben Ulam Lamizbeach. Where it says, okay, Vayika, Hamayla. What about this difference? Which is, Deilu Meichal Parshi Ben Bikdusha Didei, Ben Bikdusha Lifnaim Lifnim. When it comes to Eichal, you separate whether it's for its own Kedusha, or whether it's for the Kedusha of the Lifnaim Lifnim. Ve'ilu Ben Milam Mizvech Lo Parshi Bikdusha Deichal. Whereas by the Ulam, the Mizbech, you only separate out for the Kedusha Deichal. Now, he basically just said the same thing that we said until now. Which is that when it comes to the Heichal, you separate out Ben Kedusha Didei, Ben Kedusha Lifnai Lifnim. Kedusha Didei means the Kedusha Taktoret, and Ben Kedusha Lifnai Lifnim means not only the Ktoret of Lifnai Lifnim, but also the Damim Lifnai Lifnim. Because there are numerous things that end up in the Kodesh HaKodeshim that day, it's the Ktoret, the Damapar, and the Damaseir. And we've learned from the Pasuk before that not only can there be nobody in the Heichal at the time of the Ktoret, there can be nobody in the Heichal at the time of the Matnot Damim as well. So he says, wait a minute, there's another difference. The other difference is when the Matnot Damim, when it comes to Matnot Damim of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you can't be in Eichal. You're allowed to be Ben Olam Mizbeach. Why isn't that another difference? Now, the way he's basically answering the question is that he's replacing the word Haktara with the word Kedusha. He says, I don't understand why you're using the word Haktara here. The word Haktara seems to limit this to Ketoret, this difference to Ketoret, which is not true. This difference also exists with Matnot Damim. So you should have used the word kedusha rather than haktara. If you use the word kedusha, it has a broader meaning or broader application, which means anything that is done in the heichal itself, means in the kodesh, then you have to separate from the kodesh and lamizbeach. It's something that's done lifnai lifnim, kedusha, that whether it's ktoret, matan damim, then you don't have to separate out from the heichal, you don't have to separate out from lamizbeach. So why did you use the word haktara and not kedusha, a term that has broader inclusion to it? That would have made more sense. Amarova shem prisha achati. When we're talking about separating, all separations are one unit or entity. Truth is, they're all learned from one pasuk. So then, why did you mention haktara rather than any other item? Because the pasuk is written, the ikara pasuk is written by ketoret, as we said before. The ikara pasuk is meant to be by the ketoret. The other items, the Matan Damim, is included because of a ribu in the Pasuk of the Chaper. So since the Iker Davar is written by the Ketoret, therefore we explain it as being a difference in Ketoret. Does that mean it doesn't apply to Damim? No, it also applies to Damim. I phrased it by Ketoret because of the Pasuk, but it has broader application. Ah, it says Ketoret and not Kedusha. That's because Shem Prisha Chati, separating is all the same thing. It's all learned from one Pasuk, it's all the same idea. And therefore, we're not going to be makpid on the lashon that he used to separate between them. Tosafot on the previous amud also mentions in the Havamini of the Gemara that there would be a difference between Aktarat Aktoret and the Damim Lifnai Lifnim. He says, why should there be a difference? Why does it make sense that just because you're in the Kodesh HaKodeshim with the Ktoret, that you'd have to separate out from the Eichal and Ben Olam Lemizbeach, whereas by Matan Damim, you don't have to separate out from the Eichal? Why would you have to have more separation by the Ktoret than the Matan Damim? They're both done in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Why would you think that that's the case? So he says, for the same reason that we just answered here, is because the Ikar Pasuk is written by the Ketoret. So he says, because Haktarah Dikhtir B'kra B'hedja, Tfei Gazru B'Rabbanon. Since Ketoret is mentioned in the Pasuk explicitly, there the Rabbanon said, not only be out of the Kodesh, but be out of the Ulam Nimzbeach. The Matan Damim, which is only brought through a Reboy, there we say, separate out from the Kodesh, but not Ben Ulam Nimzbeach. That was the Havamin of the Gemara. And in the conclusion of the Gemara, we still have that differentiation, not in halacha, but in the fact that it's phrased as haktara and not as kedusha. Even though they both are equally applicable, the phraseology of the Braita is haktara because that's the ikar pasuk, is by haktara. But it means kedusha as well, it means other items as well. Amamar, kach porshin bishat matan parkoin mashiach aparilam davashot zibor, serei avodat kochavim. You know what? How do we know that you have to separate out of that area when you do all of these other damim? All these other items. It's nice that the bright dimensions them, but where does it know it from? Where's the ribu in the pasuk? Amar padat ache kapara kapara mi yom kippurim. Because the terminology used here is kapara, and the terminology used by Sirei over the Zara is also kapara. And so, since the word kapara is used there, as well as by the parhelam davar shel tzibur, so all those times you have the word kapara used, so there's a gzera shava kapara kapara to teach you they have the same din like Yom Kippur that you have to be out of the eichal. Amar ravacha baravo, amar ravada baravo shvamina. From this we would conclude that malot de oraita, that hierarchy that is listed in Masechet Kelim about the kedusha or different levels of kedusha are Torah differences. V'hachi gemiruhu. And that was the Mesorah that they had. The Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, or the Mesorah that they had, was, these are the differentiations in Kedusha. Because, if you say that it's a Din D'Rabbonon, Maishna Ben Olam L'Mizbeach. What's the difference between Ben Olam Nizbech? Why do you ask that nobody be Ben Olam Nizbech? When you do an Akhtarat HaKetoret on the Mizbech HaZahav, nobody can be in Eichal. Also, nobody can be Ben Olam Nizbech. In Eichal itself, I understand why nobody can be. That's the Pasuk. Kol Adam Lo Yebo'ol Moed. Nobody can be in there. Okay, so I understood that part. Ben Olam Nizbech is a preventative measure. It's to say, I don't want anybody Ben Olam Nizbech because maybe they'll enter into the Eichal. Well, if you're already dealing with a preventative measure, then Dilma Mikru violate. So, what's the problem in Olam Mizbeach? Is maybe they'll go in, happenstance, by chance, they'll walk in and go into the Eichal while he's doing the Ketoret. So we say, don't be there to avoid that problem. Mikul Azarah, Nami Nifrushu. Then they shouldn't be in the whole Azarah. Dilma Mikru Vaile. Maybe they'll go in to the Eichal. What's the difference between Olam Mizbeach than the rest of the Azarah if it's just preventative measure? Mar says, no, there is a difference, because there are demarcations, which is, Ben Olam Mizbeach, even to Lo Mafsik Mide Lo Minkara Milto. Between the Olam Mizbeach, there's nothing there. You have the Mizbeach. After that, you have the entrance into, or the stairs up to the, they basically start at the Mizbeach, almost like an Amah away from the Mizbeach. They start, and you have the stairs that ascend into the Heichal. And then it's an open area. I mean, that whole area is open. So if you're standing in that area, there's nothing stopping you from just wandering into the Heichal. On the other hand,
I mean, if you have to walk upstairs, you know,
you could be standing on the stairs already. You don't have to be down at the bottom. You could be on the stairs itself. That's Ben Olam Mizbech. Azarah, gave into Ika Mizbech HaChiton, the Mafsik. If you're in the rest of the Azarah, between you and the Ulam is the Mizbech HaChiton. So there, Minkara Milta, it's clear that you shouldn't be in that area. Although, to be honest with you, to enter the Heichal, you have to walk through the doors of the Ulam or the doors of the Heichal. Not sure why that's not a good indicator or a siman. Ah, very good. So what you're asking is, Mar is about to ask right now. Your question is, wait a minute, what about the Ulam itself? What you're asking is a problem here in this Gemara. The Gemara assumes that there are only three areas. There's a Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Kodesh, and then Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. Those are the three areas that we discussed, but that's not nearly true. If you're in the Beit Olamim, in the Beit HaMikdash, it was the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Then there was the Kodesh. That's the Heichal. Then there's the Ulam, which is the antechamber to enter into the Kodesh. That's the area in the front of the, in the pictures, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the wider area in the front of the Heichal. That's the Ulam. So there you have another stage. And then Ben Ulam, the Mizbeach, is another, a fourth area. So now, if you're already separating out and you have to put a buffer, why is the buffer Ben Ulam, the Mizbeach? The buffer should be the Ulam itself. So that's what the Gemara is about to say, which is your question. Amar Rava, Shema Mina. Dushat Ulam Eichal Chada Miltahi. From this Gemara, you would conclude that the Dushat Ulam and Eichal are synonymous. How do I know that? These Sakadat Shteik Gezeirot Ninu. If you think they're two different levels of Kedusha, Ulam Gufa Gezeira, like you're suggesting, then the buffer should be the Ulam. Benikim Benigzor Gezeira Legzeira. So then, what are you going to do? You're going to Gezeira Legzeira. You're not allowed to be in the Eichal, which means in the Kodesh. So what's the buffer? The Ulam. So then you say to me, not only can you not be in the Ulam, you can't be Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. That means that you're already a second derivative, two removed from the Kodesh. So why would you have to Gzeira like that? So it must be that the Ulam and Eichal have the same level of Kedusha, and the first drop down of Kedusha is Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. That's why the Gzeira is over there. I says, well, the Gemara says no, but I could solve the problem the other way. The Ulam sits between two areas. The Ulam sits between the Kodesh and Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. So Rava's conclusion was, well, Ben Ulam must be the same as Kodesh. You could just do it the other way around and say Ulam is the same as Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. If you do that, they're also a single entity. That means, yes, you have to be outside of the Kodesh. Yeah, you have to be in the Ulam. But Ben Ulam the Mizbeach and the Ulam all have the same Kedusha. And therefore, you have to separate from that whole area. And that's the conclusion of Marlo. Ulam, Ubein Ulam Mizbeach, Hada Kedusha Hi. That's one level of Kedusha. Heichav Ulam, Shtei Kedusha. But Kodesh and the Ulam are two separate Kedusha. So Minat Torah, you'd have to separate out from the Heichal, which means the Kodesh. The Ulam you could be in. Gzeira Derabonis, don't be in Ulam, because you may enter into the Heichal, you may enter into the Kodesh. Ah, Ben Ulam Mizbeach. Ben Ulam Mizbeach is the same status as Ulam. They're one entity, they're one Kedusha. So because of that, when I say don't be in Ulam, it means also don't be Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. You have to be outside of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So Gemara concludes, or seemingly concludes, that it is a Din Derabanan. It doesn't have to be necessarily a Din D'Oraita. And the Rabbanan's Gezeirah was limited to Ben Olam Mizbeach, because that's a defined area. Once you're past the Mizbeach, you have no Havamina to walk into that area. In addition to that, the Gezeirah includes both the Ulam and Ulam the Mizbeach, because they are considered to weigh one level of Kedusha, not a double Gezeirah. And that's why it's this way, and not because Ulam is equal to the Kodesh. By the way, the Gemara in Zvachim discusses this heavily about when it has to be the doors of the Petach Ol Moed have to be open in order to do the Avodah. Which Petach are we speaking about? Are we speaking about the Petach Ulam or the Petach HaHeichal? And it makes a big difference. Because the Petach Haichal into the Kodesh was 10 amot wide, like a standard doorway. The Petach Ulam is a wider and taller doorway, and it's 20 amot wide. So it makes a difference in terms of what's considered in front of the Petach. But if you think that the Petach Haichal is the only thing that matters, the Petach to the Kodesh is the only thing that matters, you only have 10 amot wide as your area that you have to be adjacent or opposite in order to be Mikayim Lifnei Hashem. On the other hand, if you think Petach Ulam counts, then you have a 20 amot wide area that's considered to be Lifnei Hashem. It makes a big difference in terms of placement, where the Mizbeach is placed, where you can do certain Hakravot. So all of those make a difference because of which Petach you're talking about. So the Gemara in Zvachim talks about heavily about which Petach is which. And that's why Rava jumped on this to say, oh, from here it sounds like Yushat Eichal of the Kodesh is the same as the Ulam. Because once you do that, that means that the Petach Ulam is significant of being Lifnei Hashem. And it has a large nafkamina. So the Gemara says, no, you don't have to say that necessarily. It could be that it Petach Eichal is the Petach, and the Ulam is separate, but the Ulam and Ben Ulam Mizbeach is one entity. And that's why it's an important distinction over here. Right now, the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. It says, every day when they brought the coals in to put on the Ketoret, they used to scoop the coals off the Mizbeach Kitzon with a silver pan, and then they used to dump it into a gold pan to bring it into the Mizbeach Zahav. My time, why does it do this? A Torah chasam umanam shel Yisrael. In general, we see that the Torah is makpid that we don't make unnecessary expenditures in the service of God. Well, here, if you used a gold pan to scrape up the coals every day, it's going to ruin the pan. The gold is going to get ruined. And if it gets ruined, then you're going to have to replace it. That's a lot of money to keep replacing that pan. So what you do is you scrape out, you get the coals with the silver pan, and then you pour them into the golden pan later on. Just carrying the coals in the golden pan is not going to affect it so heavily. But to push it into the coals and into the pyre, that's going to ruin it. So we use the kesef, which is a stronger metal for that. It won't get ruined. So we use that for the scooping it out. And we use the zahav for the actual taking it into the mizbech zahav. Vayom, but on Yom Kippur, choteh b'shel zahav, ubaya machnis. On Yom Kippur, he takes it out. He scoops the coals out with a golden pan. And with that golden pan, he enters into the Kodesh Kodashim. Mar says, my time up. Why? What, don't we worry about the money of the Klal Yisrael and Yom Kippur? It says, Mishum Chusha the Goyen Gadol. It's extra work for the Goyen Gadol. The Goyen Gadol has to do so much on that day to ask him to scoop it out with one pan, then pour it to a different pan. Every exertion, every extra step in the way, he's fasting. He's doing all the avoda of Yom Kippur. It's a big burden for the Goyen Gadol. So here we can limit the amount of work that he has to do for one time a year to stick the golden pan in there. We're willing to do that for the benefit of the Goyen Gadol. And every day they used to scoop out 4 kav, and then they used to pour it from that gold, that silver pan of 4 kav into a golden pan of 3 kav. So that means that you had an excess of a kav that fell away when he did that. They had a machloka there, Rabbi Yossi suggested, no, every day he scooped out a sa'a, which is 6 kav, and then he poured it in, and there were 3 kav left. Now Tana, itavazu lo kav gichalim. A kav of gichalim were in excess that fell out of the pan. You sweep them into the drainage line. The drainage line is a water line that goes through the Mikdash and goes out the other end into the Kidron Valley. So that ama, that water line, you sweep the coals into so that they are extinguished and then they go out, they get washed out. So Tani Chadakav, we have one bright that says that a kav fell out and he swept them up. Tani Idach, we have another bright that says Kabayim. It says 2 kav. Bishlamach, the Tani Kav, the one that says there was an excess kav, Rabbonon. That's the Rabbonon, the Tanakam of our Mishnah. Because they say you scoop out 4 kav, and then you put it into a pan that's 3 kav. So the excess is 1 kav. We understand it. That you had an excess of 2 kav, money. Who is that? Lo Rabbanon, it's really not the Rabbanon. Rabbanon says there's only 1 kav extra. For Lo Rabbi Yossi, it's not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says you take 6 kav, a sa'a, and you dump it into a pan of 3 kav, that means there's 3 kav of excess. Who has a kabayim of excess? Some Rav Chista, Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Brokahi. We have another Tana, and it's this Tana. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokahi, Rabbi Shmuel kabayim haya machnis. That he only took in 2 kav. That means he took 4 kav off the Mizbeach, and the golden pan that he took into the Mizbeach Zav only was 2 kav. When you take 4 kav and pour it into 2, the excess is 2. So this is according to that Mando Amar, there was an excess of 2. Ravashi Amar, afilu teima Rabbi Yossi, it could be Rabbi Yossi. V'hochik Amar, b'choyo, haya chote b'shel sa'ah midbarit. He used to scoop off a sa'ah worth of coals, but the sa'ah was a sa'ah midbarit, which I'll explain in a second. U'me'areh l'tok shloshet kabin yushalmiyot. And then he poured it into 3 kav of yushalmiyot. We've done this a number of times before, which is that they expanded the midot 3 times. They expanded once from the midbar to Yushalayim, and they expanded again from Yushalayim to Tzipori. So that means that 6 sa'ah of the midbar fit into 5 sa'ah of Yerushalayim, because they expanded the size of the sa'ah in Yerushalayim. So if I take a sa'ah of Midbar, 6 of those will fit into 5 of the Yerushalmiot. And so that's basically what he says. He says, he took a sa'ah Midbarit. A sa'ah Midbarit is 6 kav of the Midbar. 6 kav of the Midbar is equivalent to 5 kav of Yerushalayim. So then when he pours it into a pan that holds 3 kav of Yerushalayim, then he has 2 kav excess. So that's how Rav Ashi solves the problem. He says that the sa'ah that he's speaking about is not a sa'ah of Yerushalayim, it's the old sa'ah. So they scooped an old sa'ah worth of coals off the Mizbeach, and that's really 5 kav Yerushalmiot, and then he poured them into a pan that had held three kav Yerushalmiot, and so there's 2 excess. Why they were using a sa'ah Midbarit to scoop it off the Mizbeach, and why you would say it that way is very strange. It's a chap to solve the problem this way. Very possible is that they had this kli that they were still using from the old measurements, and they didn't want to get rid of it, so they kept it. And that's why. All right, now, choyom haitak beida, and every day the pans were heavy, vayom kala, and today on Yom Kippur the pans are much lighter. Why? Tana b'choyom haitak gilda ava. Every day the walls or the thickness of the pan was wide or thick. Vayom rach, and today it was soft or thin. So then what they did was they made a much thinner pan to take the weight down. B'choyom haitak tzara, and every day the handle of the pan was short. Vayom aruka, and today the handle of the pan was long. My daima. Deshez ro'o shokoyen gadol misayato. So that would help him out. So again, this is all about helping out the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, because he's weak, it's hard for him. So number one is we make the pan lighter, so he's carrying less weight. He doesn't have to carry the coals plus the pan all the way into the Kodesh Kodoshim. It's a lot to carry, and it's a long way to carry it. So therefore, we lightened it up. How do we lighten it up? We thin the pan out. We thin the gold in the pan, so it's a thinner gold. If it's a thinner gold, it's going to weigh less, so it's easier for him to carry. That's number one. Number two is we extend the handle of the pan. Normally, if you have the pan handle is in your hand, and you carry it in. If you make a longer pan handle, you can have it in your hand, and you can also have it resting on your forearm. Your handle acts as a fulcrum, and the handle of the pan will rest against your forearm. So it makes it easier for him to carry. So they made the arm longer for the Kohen Gadol, in order that it's easier for him to bring it in. Now remember, he has to, not only has Chusha the Kohen Gadol, in his left hand, he's carrying the spoon with the Ketoret, which he eventually has to do. It's the hardest of Oda in the Mikdash. He has to get that Ketoret from the spoon with that left hand. He's got to move it into the palm of his hand without using the other hand. The other hand's holding the coals. So if it's super heavy, he's trying to balance that, and he's trying to do this at the same time. It's very difficult. So the lighter we make this, and the more aid he has from his forearm, the easier it is for him to do everything else that he needs to do, not just the weight and the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Remember, in the Mikdash, there are all these golden and silver kelim. We don't say that Kasa Mamonam Shel Yisrael. We say that if something's put into use, it can be used again and again and again. That's not. Kasa Mamonam Shel Yisrael is just wasted money. It's money that's expended, that's going to go to waste because they have to replace it and have to do it again. So Kasa Mamonam Shel Yisrael is things that you're going to have to break or are going to get ruined. That's where we say Kasa Mamonam Shel Yisrael. To invest in something that can be used over and over again, and then it's Kavod Shemaim, there we don't say Kasa Mamonam Shel Yisrael. There we say Ein Aniyut B'Makom HaShivut. There, we don't act like paupers in the place of the glory of Hashem in the Mikdash. So there's no sense of, oh, we'll make it out of wood, we'll make it out of cheap metals. No. In the Mikdash, they made things out of silver, they made them out of gold, they did things that were of honorable nature for the place. Chasam Omnam Shiz is that we don't just want to be spending money where they have to keep replacing it and keep expending that money. So that's where we say Chasam Omnam Shiz. So now Tana b'chol yom lo ayala niyashtik. Every day didn't have any niyashtik on it. Vayom ayala nishtashtik. Divrei ben haskan. That's its interesting attribution. That's the words of the son of the skan. Skan Kohen Gadol. These are his words. That every day the pan did not have this niyashtik. And today it did have a niyashtik. Rashi claims, what's this niyashtik? Is a little tabat. A little ring at the head of it. Shemikashkesh umashmiyakol. When you walk, when you have a ring that is attached to a pot and you walk, it bangs against the pot. And he says, "Lashmiya kol b'shom," because it says, "Nishma kolo b'vol haKodesh," that you'll hear his sound when he goes into the Kodesh. That's said by the Rimonim, the Pamonim and Rimonim on the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol. On the Me'il, it says that you'll hear his voice, not his voice, but his sound as he comes in. Because those bells, or the pomegranates and the bells, will ring when you go into the Kodesh. So this is another way that you have that noise. V'nishma kol b'vol haKodesh is that this pan will go boink, 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 boink from the tabat hitting it as he goes in. That's what Rashi claims. Tosafot disagrees based on the Yerushalmi. And he says, this me'ashtik was a leather cover. It was a leather cover for the pan. Why they need a leather cover for the pan? So he shouldn't burn his hand. So that's very good. So Tosfot says, it wasn't on the pan itself, but on the handle, because the conduction of heat from the pan to the handle would make it very hot in the handle. So since it can become very hot in the handle, we want to give it as something that he can hold on to so he doesn't burn his hand on the handle. Tosfot says, what about every day? Every day they have to carry in the coal. So two things. Every day, first of all, they started with the silver kli, and then they moved it into a golden kli. So first of all, it didn't spend a lot of time in the first kli, and didn't spend a lot of time in the second kli, because you were switching between them. Second of all, it was a shorter distance. You took it from there right into the Mizbech Zav, you were done. And Yom Kippur, it's a single pan, he has to put it into the pyre, pull out the coals, then carry it all the way into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So in Yom Kippur, you have, number one, you have the same kli as carrying the coals the whole time, so there's more time for the conduction of heat. It's the kli that went into the pyre, so I mean, it got really hot. And number two is, he's going a longer distance. So there's more time for the conduction of heat. Because of those items on Yom Kippur, it was more important to protect the handle from becoming hot. He says, what about the fact that it's a hefsek? It's something that separates between the hand of the Kohen Gadol and the Kli. You're not allowed to have that. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi says that they nailed it in. That they made it a part of the Kli itself, so it was batel to the Kli. If it's a separate entity, it's an artik, which is like a cover that goes on it, like an oven glove that you would put on, that's a hefsek. But here, it was wrapped around the handle, it was tied down or nailed down to the handle, became a part of the kli. There, it's not a hefsek. So that's what Tosfot says this ni'astik is. Amar Rav Chisda, b'chol yom haya zahava yarok. Says every day the zahav was a green gold, and on Yom Kippur they used a reddish gold. So Amar Rav Chisda, shiva zahavim hay. There are seven types of zahav. Now, the truth is that they're getting this from the psukim, because the word zahav is mentioned in many psukim in the Tanakh. And every time there's another modifier to zahav, and that's what they're bringing here. First of all, there is zahav, zahav tov. There's regular gold and good gold. Zahav ofir, zahav mupas, zahav shachut, zahav sagur, zahav parvaim. So those are the different types of gold. Now the Gemara is going to discuss each one of them. Zahav, zahav tov. How do I know that there's regular gold and good gold? Dichtiv, because it says by Gan Eden, about the rivers that leave Gan Eden, the four rivers that leave Gan Eden, it says that one of them goes out to land zahav aratzahu tov. And the zahav of that land is really good. So that implies that there is a good zahav. Well, if there's good zahav, there's also regular zahav. So that's what I know about zahav and zahav tov. That's a better quality zahav. Tosafot brings from the Yishami. Zahav tov is gold that has been smelted to the point where if you put it in the smelter again, it doesn't lose anything. All the dregs have been taken out, so it's such pure gold that when you return it to the smelter, it doesn't do anything because it's already been purified. A very refined gold. So now zahav ofir, the atim ofir. Comes from a place called Ophir. That's the gold of Ophir. Now, Zahav Mupaz, Shedome Lepaz. It's similar to Paz. Paz is something that is brilliant or shines. So as Rashi says, Matziv Kemargalit. It shines or it radiates like a diamond, a fine stone. Zahav Shachut, Shnitva Kechut. It's a type of Zahav that is not Shachut, like Shechted Zahav, but Shachut is like the word Chut, like string. Something that you can make into strings or that you can use for stitching with. I mean, it's a very soft and fine gold. Zahav Sagur. Zahav Sagur is B'shash Niftach. When they take out that Zahav, Kol HaChaniyot Nizgarot. All the other stores close down because it's such good gold that all other gold next to it seems to be not worthy. Zahav LeParvaim is Shedomeh LeDam HaParim. It's similar to the blood of a par. I mean, it's a reddish, a very, very reddish gold. Ravashi Amar Chamisha Hein. There are really only five golds. We said before there's seven. He says only five golds. These golds, everything besides Zahav, Zahav Tov, those are the five different types of gold. V'chol chad v'chad. Within each category, eat le Zahav, Zahav Tov. There is a lower quality gold and a more refined gold. Right? So like you were suggesting before, different carats. The higher the carats, the more refined it is. So there are five different types of gold. Within those five categories, you have a lower quality and a higher quality gold. Tani Nami Ochi, we have a brighter than that supports this, but supports the idea that the Dam HaParvaim is Dama Par, because it says in the bright, B'chol yom haya zahava yarok, v'ayom adom, that every day it was green gold, and then on Yom Kippur was made out of red gold, v'ayinu zahav parvaim. And that is the zahav parvaim, shodomeh l'dam parim. It's similar to the blood of the parim, that it's very red. Now the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out, that's what I was saying to you before, that these are found in many of the psukim in Tanakh, in Melachim Aleph, in the building of the Mikdash, as well as the palace of Shlomo Melech, over there in those psukim, it mentions these golds. It says, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tet Zayin, V'yasa Melech Shlomo Matayim Tzina, Zahav, Shachut. Sheish Meot Zahav, Yaleh Ale Tzina Echad. So there you have Zahav Shachut described. That's why the Gemara over here brings that type of Zahav. What's special about that Zahav? So here, the Gemara explains what that Zahav Shachut is. Then, in the same perek, later on, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says, V'chol klei mashkeh ha-melech Shlomo zahav, V'chol beit ha-yar ha-levanon zahav sagur. They were called zahav sagur. And listen to what it says about zahav sagur. Ein kesef, there was no silver, lo nechshav bimei Shlomo le-meuma. Because silver was worthless in the time of Shlomo, or other golds, Gemara is saying here, were worthless, because Zahav Sagur was such pure gold, nobody wanted anything else. They only wanted this, it was the finest of the golds that they had. And in Divrei HaYamim, we also have a pasuk like that. It's in Divrei HaYamim Bet, Per Gimel, Pasuk Vav. It says, Vayitzaf et abayit even yikara. So they plastered the walls, or they covered the walls with fine stones. Litif aret, to make it glorified, beautiful. Vazahav, Zahav Parvayim. And the gold was the gold of Parvayim. So that's why the Gemara here talks about these different golds, because they're found in Psukim. We find by the building of Shlomo, we have Zahav Parvayim, we have Zahav Sagur, and Zahav Shachut. Gemara wants to know, what are the differences between these golds? Zahav Ophir and Zahav Paz were golds, obviously, that were found in their time. And then you have the Zahav and Zahav Tov, which comes out of that Pasuk in Breshit. And the question is that a separate type of Zahav? Is that modifying every type of Zahav? That there's Zahav and Zahav Tov, and that's the Machloka that we saw here. Okay, we'll stop over here.